go to the Word right now. And I really believe that that's what Jesus is going to do in this place. Jesus is going to reveal who He is. He's going to reveal His face. He's going to reveal His beauty. He's going to reveal His love this morning. And for me, that song that Robbie just sung is the cry of my heart. It's everything that we could ever ask for. It's the highest gift we could ever have. A lot of us, we make New Year's resolutions, we wish for things, we dream of things, but there's nothing more that we can have. There's nothing greater than experiencing the person of God Himself. Because God is to be experienced. Amen? He's not just a theory. God is not a theory. The Bible is not theory. The encounters in the Scripture were written for us to pursue. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are hungry, for they will be filled." You can't be filled if you're not hungry. Hunger activates the nature of God. Hunger activates the Spirit of God. And I pray that this morning, as we hear the Word of Christ, something more than just theory would come across, and your heart would be awakened to pictures falling. No, that your heart would be awakened. Thank you, Jen. Thanks, guys. I think this one's a bit... That's at a right angle, somehow. Don't know if we can fix that one. Just, I don't know if anyone can just help us there with that one. It looks like it might go. See? Amen. Thank you, Andrew. So, what I was saying is that as we go into the Word this morning, I pray that your heart would be awakened for more than just theory, more than just good understanding, more than just good theology. But you would be awakened to a hunger for an experience, for an encounter with Jesus this year. If you've never experienced the presence of God, then my prayer is that this year would be your year that you experience the presence of God. Because Jesus is alive. If Jesus is alive, then why do we have to live as if though He's not? You know, we live as if though Jesus is alive and He's living somewhere else. But He's living right here, right now. And He can be part of your life every day. Amen. Come on. Yes. All right, we're gonna take up the offering with that, and if I could ask the team to come up. But I just want to say thank you to Russell and Ant and all those that are involved, Denise and Dane and Doug and Carol. Just thanks so much for all the guys that have been involved in helping the service this morning. It's the first service of the year last night. A lot of them were up late watching fireworks, and they barely got any sleep. People like Sean at the back on the computer, I don't think he's had any sleep. Gary and all the guys, just want to say, Robbie and Janine on worship, just why don't we just give them a hand, honor them this morning. Thank you guys for blessing us this morning. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to partner with the gospel. Father, I pray that each and every seed sown here this morning would be multiplied 100-fold over the year ahead. That what is sown this morning is a seed, and it's a sign of the people's faith in you. Their faith in the fact that you are their provider. Not their work, not the economy. You are their provider. And Father, I declare over each and every person in this place that you truly would provide for them. That too would not just be theory, but it would become reality this year. Your provision, your supernatural provision would become a reality this year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. All right. Morning. How are we all doing this morning? We're alive. Good. Now, you may be wondering what happened there, besides the fact that one of the pictures fell over. Besides that, you may be wondering what's up with all the pictures on stage. Well, Corinne and I are just very excited about this morning's service. We believe it's the first service of the year, and therefore it's going to be significant. What is said here this morning holds weight. It holds significance for the rest of the year. Amen? And so this morning we want to share a word which we believe symbolizes what God wants to do in your year, in your lives this year, in the life of this church. And God gave Corinne five pictures. She gave Corinne these five visions, and each one is a different aspect of what God wants to do this year. And so I'm going to be sharing from each picture. We're going to go through the scriptures. And the primary thing that I'm going to be sharing is the goodness of God. Because I believe that faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing. The word is hearing. That doesn't say, now I'm all for reading the scripture. That is important. But it says faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. It doesn't say faith comes by reading. It's just interesting, isn't it? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. The original word in the Greek is the word of Christ. Now, why is it the word of Christ? Because Hebrews 1 says that the word, that Christ is the word, and Christ is the exact representation of the nature of God. That's what Hebrews 1 says. So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Jesus is the exact representation of God. And Jesus never turned anyone away who came to him for healing, who came to him for forgiveness, who came to him for advice, who came to him for love. Jesus never turned anyone away. He always gave people the opportunity to respond to his nature. That's who God is. God never turns people away. Jesus never said to someone, actually, this time, brother, God doesn't want to heal you. It's God's will for you to have leprosy. So go and enjoy the rest of your 5 years that you have left to live, because it's the Father's will for you to have leprosy. Jesus never said that. And therefore, if Jesus never said that, God never says that. He is the exact representation of the Father's glory. And that's why that word is so important in Romans 10:17. The message is heard through the word of Christ. So you hear about Christ and his goodness, and faith rises in your heart. Because you're hearing about how good God is. You're hearing about how glorious God is. And what happens is faith comes. You see, we also know that scripture says that every person has been given a measure of faith. But how many of you need that measure to be expanded? Right? I know I do. We all need it. We all need that faith to be expanded. And you can't expand your faith by trying. You can't expand your faith by playing soccer, which is something that I love to do, unfortunately. Unless somebody injured themselves and then you pray for them and then they get healed. And then your faith will be expanded. But you expand your faith by hearing the word of Christ. And it naturally expands. And so this morning, my heart, our heart, Corinne and I, our heart this morning is to share with you what God is like through the message of Christ, so that your faith may rise and your expectancy for God's goodness to invade your life would rise this year. Amen. And so we're just going to share a different point from each of these pictures. I want to thank Jen. Jen is just, she painted these in 1 week. all five of these in 1 week. And I think that's really significant. I really do. The first service of the year, we're using five pictures painted by one of the most prophetic painters you'll meet. There are many others of you out there, by the way. I just want to make this point very quickly. Many, many of you are lying dormant. You have incredible gifts, and you're lying dormant. And those gifts need to come to the surface. See, a lot of people that are up front sharing words, painting, preaching, singing, whatever, they're stepping out in their gifts. And there's many, many more of you which need to come through. And so this year, I believe, is significant for Jen and the prophetic painting, the prophetic creative arts in Highway. I'm very excited for what God's going to do. So I really want to honor you, Jen. Thank you for this. These are very significant. Okay, so do you want to know what we're going to share? Do you want to know what each picture represents, right? That's why they're here. Of course you do. The first one, we can have that picture up on the screen. The first one is the hands of Jesus. Okay? You see a hand there? I don't know if I should pull each one out, so it won't be a very good idea. But the first one is a picture of Jesus' hand reaching out and grabbing someone. And I'd like you to have a look at the scripture, which is going to come up here on the screen. Matthew 14. We know the story. Peter's in the boat. It's storming. The disciples are in the boat. And Jesus walks out to them. And they think it's a ghost. And Peter says, in Peter's irrational mind, "If it's really you, then call me out." And Jesus said, "Okay, well then come." And Peter, he just gets out of the boat and he starts walking towards Jesus. And then we pick it up here in verse 29. "Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus." That's key. He came toward Jesus. "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?'" And I'd like to take a couple of points out of this event here and show you how good God is. Notice that Peter was doing something supernatural, right? But how was Peter doing that thing supernaturally? It says he was coming toward Jesus. As Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he was walking towards him. He was doing something impossible, physically impossible. He was defying the laws of gravity, the laws of physics, by keeping his eyes on Jesus. And suddenly, he saw how hectic the wind was, how hectic the waves were, and all of a sudden, he starts sinking. Now, you can imagine in that moment of him starting to sink, that was the caving in point. I'm sure many of you have been there, but all of a sudden, he couldn't regather his thoughts. He started sinking, and that was tickets. He was going down. All he could think about was, "Oh my word, I'm sinking, the waves are so big," and he couldn't get out of this sinking feeling, which I'm sure many of you have been in. And what does he do? He does the only thing he knows how. He calls out. He says, "Lord, save me." And what does it say? It says, immediately, no hesitation, no, "You have little doubt, why are you sinking?" Immediately his hand stretches out and grabs him and pulls him up. And only then does he say, "You of little doubt." You see, friends, many of us have faced these situations where we are doing things supernaturally. Whether it's in business, whether it's in our daily lives, whether it's seeing miracles all around us, whatever it may be, we're performing something which is beyond our normal capabilities. But suddenly something takes our focus off of Jesus in that moment, in that season of operating supernaturally, and we become overwhelmed with whatever that thing is that took our eyes off Jesus. All it takes, friends, is one cry. "Lord, save me. Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, help." Immediately, your God is there. Immediately, he stretches out his hands and he says, he will save you. I want to tell you, friends, this year, many of you have had a tough year. 2011 may have been difficult for a lot of you, but I want to tell you, Jesus is right there to reach out his hand and immediately pull you out of your sinking situation. He will save you. And then the question comes, why did you doubt? Now the Greek word for doubt there means to waver in your opinion. Now what does that mean? What opinion did Peter waver in? It was the opinion of what he was able to do through Jesus. Why did you waver in your opinion of what you are able to do through me? I want to tell you, friends, that you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Don't waver in that opinion. Because when your eyes are on Jesus, you'll know. But the storms of life will come. The lies of Satan will come. And you'll begin to get thoughts, I don't know if this is really God. I don't know if I can really do this. Don't doubt in who you are. Don't doubt the opinion of what God thinks about you and of what God thinks you can do. Now the second picture is a picture of Jesus. I'm just going to push this one back so that, because they all come up on the screen. This is a picture of Jesus and you'll see, you can come have a look after the service. There's fire in his eyes. And I want to read to you from Revelation 1, 13 to 18. This is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Isn't that amazing? This is now Jesus, the glorified Jesus, and he's the son of man. The glorified Jesus. I want you to think about this because now theologically, some of you may not understand this and it may be irrelevant to you, but some of you may be interested in this. When Jesus was born in the flesh, he became the Son of Man. Before he was born in the flesh, he was the Son of God. Because he was always with God. He was always in heaven with God. He was a glorified spirit being, one of the Trinity. And then when he came into the flesh, he became the Son of Man. And here, he is glorified, and this is now after he's gone up into heaven, and he's called the Son of Man. Like the Son of Man. I think it's important to note he is like the Son of Man. The reason he is like the Son of Man is because he's no longer limited to simply a man, but he still looks like a man. Can I tell you why? Because he represents you and I in the glory realm. The flesh of mankind, the limited box of our flesh is represented at the right hand of the Father in the glory realm of heaven by the Son of Man, Jesus. There he is in heaven. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. I'll go to the next one. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Now notice what happens here. He falls down at his feet, completely overwhelmed at what he's seeing. And Jesus places his right hand on him and says, "Do not be afraid." Jesus, we can get so overwhelmed at the glory, but Jesus comes and he says, "Do not be afraid. Come, stand with me. Come, I am with you. We're on the same level. I have redeemed you. I have restored you to my level. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, my spirit is strengthened, right? My heart is galvanized. I feel like I can take on anything when I read something like that. How many of you feel the same way? You read something like that, a description of what Jesus is like, His face, the glory of His face, and just something in you is strengthened. That is why it is so important to seek the face of Jesus. Because 2 Corinthians 3, 16 to 18 says that whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed and they are transformed. You see, when we see Jesus, when we see Him clearer, our spirits are strengthened and awakened. And we are transformed further into His image. And this is why, this is one of the pictures that we believe this year is signifying. Because we are going to see Jesus clearer. It's going to embolden us. It's going to strengthen us. It's going to stir our faith. And we're going to be able to take on the world. We're going to be able to do anything when we see Jesus. And I want to encourage you, friends, this year. It is absolutely important to see Jesus. Not just to read books, read the Bible for the sake of reading books or for the sake of reading the Bible, but to see Jesus. It is Jesus that gives life. It is the Word of Christ that builds faith. And I want to encourage you this year to just make time to see Him. Whatever works for you. Whether it is reading the Bible so that you can see His nature. You can see what He's like. You can look for His goodness. You can look for the life and person and nature of Jesus in the pages. Whether it's reading a book. Whether you enjoy reading books. Often, instead of just reading the Bible, I'll read a book. And as I read the book, I'll turn to Scriptures as I go along. Because the author is revealing the nature of Jesus. Some of you, it may be listening to sermons. Some of you, it may be putting on some worship music so that you can experience the glorious presence of Jesus. But I want to encourage you, friends, whatever it is for you, whatever works for you, make time this year to see Jesus in all His beauty with eyes of blazing fire. Because when you do, you will be galvanized. You will be strengthened. You will have an injection of life which will course through your veins, and you'll be able to take on whatever it is that you're facing this year. Make time to see Jesus this year. See, 1 Corinthians 15:45 says that Adam is a life-giving, is a living being. The last Adam, who is Jesus, is a life-giving spirit. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is now a glorified person who is in the spirit realm imparting, giving life to you and I. And that's why it's imperative that we see Him. It's a beautiful picture. I want to encourage you to come and have a look at this after the service. The fire in the eyes of Jesus. Absolutely beautiful. This one apparently is not for sale, okay? Because none of them are for sale, apparently. Well, we'll see. Okay, the third one is the footprints of Jesus. And I want to read to you from Hebrews 13. You see there, in fact, just before we go to the scripture there, Sean, you can see it's a pathway leading up to the Son. Now, we've just read about Jesus. His face was so glorious. It was like the sun. And you can see there footprints, a number of footprints leading up into this place of glory. And I want to, and then you've got the dove here, which represents the Holy Spirit. Now, have a look at the scripture, Hebrews chapter 13. Keep your lives free from the love of money. How many of you know money itself is not evil? It's the love of money. Many of you would know 1 Timothy that says, the love of money is the root of all evil. A lot of people twist that. Religious people twist that and say, you see, money is evil. Now, I understand what they're trying to say, but money in itself is not evil. It's amoral. You know what that means. It's neutral. It's the love of money that is the root of evil. You want more. You just want more. And that consumes you. Right. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, why I could have just left the last part in there for this specific point, but I felt to left the first part in because a lot of us get consumed with our provision, our daily provision in our daily lives. We get worried about where our next income's going to come from, our next job, whatever it may be. We get worried. We get worried about the future. And we need to hear the truth that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us in those moments. Because it's those things, the worries of life, that can take our eyes off Jesus. But Jesus promises, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. On this path, on this journey that you are taking into a place of glory, on this journey of life, I will never leave you. I am always with you. Friends, whatever it is that you're going through, Jesus will never leave you. He is right there. Some of you here may be wondering, I don't know if I've been a very good person. I don't know if I'm worthy to even come to church. I want to tell you that Jesus promises you today, He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you can live in that promise every day and see transformation around you, or you can live in ignorance and miss out on the blessings of God's provision. Okay, so the third picture here, I just want to rush along because we're going to do a declaration over our year this year. Some of you would have received this declaration as you walked in. How many of you got it? Everyone. Good. Thank you, Russell and Antoinette, for that. We're going to do a declaration, and I'm going to call Corinne up because Corinne and I both prepared this message together. And in fact, it was Corinne who had the vision of these five pictures, and she so humbly asked me to share about them and preach about them. But she's going to come up and share with you the importance of a declaration, what 2012 means, and then she's going to declare. So I want to move along and just wrap up these last two pictures. Okay. So the third one here is a swing, which fell on me. Some of you sometimes fall off the swing. You may be wondering, what does a spring, a swing, you may be wondering, what does a swing have to do with this whole thing, James? This picture of Jesus, the goodness of God, what does it have to do? I don't get it. Well, I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 4. And it says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Now you may go, hey, what is this talking about? What's people disobeying and we mustn't fall? What is going on here? I don't understand. Well, the context of this passage is the Israelites in the desert. Before they went into the promised land, just after they had been delivered from Egypt, they were being provided for supernaturally in the desert. They had supernatural water provided for them. The bitter waters were turned to sweet. They had food provided for them every day. And God promised them in the promised land is a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, there are giants that you've got to take over, but I will be with you. I've delivered them into your hands. It'll be easy. And they couldn't take any of that. They kept saying, no, we don't want to live by faith. We don't want to live trusting you, trusting that we wake up and then there's manna. We'd rather get lots of manna and build it all up ourselves. We want to go back to Egypt where we can be slaves and work for our money and work for lives. Work for our lives. We don't want to trust you and live by faith, God. And this was the disobedience that God's talking about here. They disobeyed the gospel. The gospel is, I will provide for you because I am good. They couldn't believe it. They didn't want it. And so we need to be careful not to fall into this category of not believing that Jesus wants to provide for us. That Jesus wants to look after us. You see, now the rest, the Sabbath rest, is a picture of Jesus. The Sabbath was created. Yes, sure, human beings, we do need rest. But I want to tell you, some of you would have heard Greg Haswell's sermon a couple of months ago here in the evening service. If you didn't, please download it. It's on our website. It was preached in September in the evening service about the Sabbath rest, Greg Haswell. And Jesus is the Sabbath. Adam and Eve didn't have a Sabbath. They didn't have a seventh day to rest on because they were living in the Sabbath. Every day was rest. I loved Greg's example. He said they were eating apples and throwing the pips out, and boom, just this huge apple tree would just pop up, the most juiciest apples. They'd be eating oranges and throw the pips out, and boom, there's an orange tree with the most juicy. It was easy. They didn't have to work the ground. Now, Jesus is our Sabbath. We, as the children of God, have entered into a place of rest where Jesus will provide for us. And Jesus will look after us. And Jesus will make sure that we are cared for. That's why he said, cast your cares upon him. And so the swing represents rest and fun. This life was meant to be enjoyed. This life was not meant to be a chaotic rat race. This life was meant to be enjoyed. Take it easy. Enjoy life, day by day. And so the swing represents the Sabbath rest, where we are resting in Jesus' work. He's pushing us. He's having fun with us. We are enjoying him, and he's providing for us. Where we follow the things in our heart, where we trust him to provide for us, where we trust that he will look after us. And we just simply enjoy life with him, listening to his voice, and we will see miracles in our lives. I want to declare to you, and we're going to declare it again together, but I want to declare to you supernatural provision, miraculous provision over every single one of you, miraculous provision in your businesses, at work, in your lives. Win the lottery, win the lucky draws, checks in the mail, blessings from friends, gifts unexpectedly. I declare that over each and every one of you. In Jesus' name. And the last one here is limitless. It's a picture. It's amazing. Corinne and I didn't actually know how Jennifer was going to draw or paint limitless. And there she has painted someone, whether it's Peter, why don't you picture yourself there, someone walking on water. And she had no idea that I was going to use that scripture in the beginning out of Matthew 14 of Peter walking on the water. Friends, we are limitless. The last Sunday night service of 2011, Sean Michaud preached here about trusting Jesus as your hope. And when you put your hope in him, the opportunities available to you are endless. And Corinne, in that service, she had a vision. It was amazing because as I was sitting next to her, she kept tapping me on my leg saying, babe, I just have to share. I have to get up and I have to share this word. I was like, go for it, babe. Okay. So she has a vision of, during the service, she had a vision of Jesus coming into the room and waving this banner over every single person, and on the banner it said limitless. But some people's minds were closed to receiving this mindset of miracles, this mindset of being limitless. And she said that we need to have a mindset shift, a change of mind, to realize that Jesus has indeed made us limitless. And I want you to look at these two scriptures here in Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I want to tell you, friends, you can do everything. That is a limitless phrase. You can't limit that. The religious may come along and say, well, you can't actually do this one. You can't actually do that. But that is limitless. You can't deny what that says. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. We can't do it on our own. We do it through Him. And John 14:26, Jesus Himself saying to His disciples, I tell you the truth. Anyone who? Who? Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, which is amazing in itself, walking on water, getting transfigured in the glory, raising the dead. But then I think Jesus just loves to just go beyond. He's like, anyone who has faith in me will be doing what I have been doing. In fact, no, He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Church, this year is going to be a year of miracles. This year is going to be a year of endless possibilities, limitless possibilities. And we are not going to give up. We may face opposition, we may face giants, but we're not going to give up. We're going to come together as the body, supporting one another, encouraging each other, but not just saying it's for the other people, pressing in for ourselves. Every one of us, trusting Him for endless opportunities of miracles in every area of our lives. Amen? Awesome. Okay, well, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to call up Corinne now, and she's just going to share a little bit about what she feels is going to happen in 2012 and what 2012 represents. Thanks, Andrew. And then we're going to declare together.
Firstly, I just want to say thank you to everyone who's just come out this morning. It's just so cool to see so many people here. And I was just having a time last week or so. I was just praying and saying, Lord, what does 2012 hold for us? What does it hold for us corporately? What does it hold for us individually in our personal lives? And I don't know how many of you have heard Joseph Prince minister before, but often when he ministers, he speaks about the importance and the significance of numbers in the Bible. And it just clicked in my mind, and I got out my computer, and I went onto Google, and I found a whole lot of Bible websites that started to explain the significance of numbers. And I must tell you that I was so blown away, because when I started to look into this, it was things that were already in my heart. It was the desire of my heart. I actually said to James and to the elders a week ago, we were away and we were speaking about it, and I said, this is what's going to happen this next year. And this actually speaks of it. So firstly, I want to say to you that it was something that was already in my heart. So the Spirit often speaks to us first, and it's in our spirits, and we don't know why. And then He leads us to the Word, and then the Word gives life to what the Spirit was saying. And so this morning, I just want to make it really clear to you guys that I'm not using the Bible to fortune tell, to take it out of context at all. I'm not trying to read into something that's not there. I'm not trying to look for things that aren't there. But this is what I found. And when I found it, I was like, I have to share this. I cannot not share this. It is too good to be true. So I'm going to take you through this. I looked up the number 20, because 2012 is coming up next year. And 20, you guys are welcome to go research this. Do it as much as you like. It's very encouraging. But the number 20 represents the word expectancy. And we see a numerous amount of illustrations in Scripture to support this. I mean, it was 20 years Jacob waited to get possession of his wife's property. We see this in Genesis 21. It was 20 years that Israel waited for deliverance through Samson. See that in Judges. It was 20 years of the Ark of the Covenant. that waited at Kirjath. I don't know how you say that. And I'm not joking. There were about 15 others that was represented in the Bible. So, and I just took these three just to show you guys. So 20 is expectancy. When you see 20, you're seeing expectancy. Then I looked up the number 12, and I was completely blown away. Just some interesting facts about the number 12 is that we know that Jesus chose 12 disciples. We know that Jesus was 12 years old when he first appeared in public, and he uttered his very first words when Jesus was 12 years old. We see this in Luke 2, verses 42. We know as well that the children of Israel are divided into 12 tribes. That, and then also, I just threw this in, is that there are 12 months in the year. But the most exciting thing and the most important thing is that 12 actually signifies the governmental perfection. It represents divine authority and appointment. And how's that? So then I started studying further. And if you go into the multiples of 12, three times four, which we know, three is the number of divine perfection. Three, we know, is the number of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Three is the divine government of heaven. It's actually the governmental reigning of heaven. It's heaven's government. That's what three is. So it's actually heaven's government. But four is the number, I think it's coming up before I say it, but four is the number of the world and the creation. It's the number of this physical realm. It represents this physical realm that we are in already, the life that we live here on earth, where we are right now. And I just, when I saw this, I was like, oh my gosh. So 12 is actually meaning that heaven is wanting to invade earth. So let's be expectant with number 20. Let's be expectant that the government of heaven this year is wanting to invade our everyday lives. And that's why we had this vision. That's why I asked James to speak about this, because it is so important that Jesus is on our mind, that Jesus is our, that we are conscious of Jesus. Because when we are governed, like that word government's a strong word, when we are governed by the government of heaven, how many of you know that we can only prosper, that we can only have goodness, that we can only see more of Jesus, that we can only be overwhelmed with his love, that we can only share in what he has for us and do these amazing things. And so 2012 literally means I've taken this, it doesn't literally mean it, but my meaning and my interpretation is let's expect the government of heaven to rule in our earthly lives every single day this year. Thank you, Jesus. And then just out of interest, I'm going to skim over this really quickly because it literally blew my mind. I had to carry on Googling to see what all numbers mean. So you put in your birth date and your mom's and anyway. But how's this for exciting? I'm not thumb-sucking, so this just shows you that it's true. 2009, we know 20 is 9 represents, it actually means it's the conclusion of man's works. Now, I looked it up. We had the grace message come to Highway in the year 2009. It was the year that we had an awakening in our spirits. We didn't know it. We had an awakening in our spirits, and we suddenly realized and we understood that it was the finished work of the cross that leads us into victorious living. That it wasn't our works. It was Jesus' works. It was I don't need to explain that. 2010. 10 means completeness of order, lacking nothing, nothing overexerted. So it's you're not lacking anything, but it's not overdone. It's not over the top either. And as an eldership, we sat down and we had to overlook and we had to readjust many areas in the way that we did church. We had to go over a whole lot of things that we were going through. There was a whole lot in the church that was happening at that time. And then on top of it, Steve was ministering the pure gospel, the completeness, the complete gospel In that year, he was almost driving the nail on the head for the whole year. He was just speaking about the gospel. So it's just so exciting that that's what that year meant, and that's what we did. 2011, 11 is the number of revelation. And I just know that many of us, I mean, I know me and I know a lot of my friends, we had revelations of Jesus for the first time. We entered new levels in Jesus. We understood. Many of you maybe have only had the revelation of the grace message in 2011. I certainly know that it was Steve and Janet's heart and their cry and their prayer was that our people would have a revelation of Jesus this year. And they didn't know, you know, that this is what it meant. I then found that if you put the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 together and you add it all up, it equals 66. There are 66 books in the Bible. And it was just so interesting that many of us said, and Steve said from this pulpit, he said, "Don't you feel like you're reading the Bible for the first time?" Do you remember him saying that? God was revealing his word. He was revealing his revelation. He was unlocking our eyes to see his word clearly, once again. He was giving us a love for his word. So, I just wanted to share that with you because it's quite a journey for Highway over the last 3 years. So that's why I'm so excited about 2012. It's like, Jesus, you are invading our lives. The government of heaven is going to invade our lives this year. And Bill Johnson says, he says that nothing in the kingdom of God begins without a declaration. And I started to look that up, and it says that we know, I mean, there's actually example upon example upon example, but firstly, a declaration is speaking forth. It's announcing. It's proclaiming what is already in your spirit into the physical realm, this realm that we live in. And we know that John the Baptist, I mean, this was just one I found. John the Baptist, he declared, "After me will come one more powerful than I." And we know in the very next paragraph, he baptizes Jesus. So John the Baptist declared he was going to baptize Jesus before Jesus was baptized. We also know that Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied about John the Baptist, before John the Baptist ever arrived. And Isaiah prophesied, he said, "I will send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way, a voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." We know that before every miracle or healing that Jesus did, he spoke it into being. Jesus spoke to the storm and he said, "Be quiet. Be still." He said, "Quiet, be still." And the storm ceased. It was fine. We know that Jesus declared on the cross. He shouted on the cross. He echoed from his mouth, "It is finished." He actually stated it from his spirit. He shouted it into the physical realm. We know that the Father created this world. When he created this world, he spoke it into being. So when we speak forth, something happens inside of our spirits. And when we really believe what we are saying, faith is released into the atmosphere. You see, it's faith that changes the atmosphere. It's not words. It's not clever words. It's not the right things to say. It's nothing like that. It's the faith inside of your heart. So Proverbs says that life and death are in the power of your tongue. And I really believe that as sons and daughters of the King, we have been given a mandate to declare life, to bring life, and to declare life wherever we go. So I would like every single one of you got one of these as you walked into the door. Can we just stand together and we're going to declare life into 2012 this year. We're so excited about it, but I really want to ask you that it's about saying it. It's about just really believing what you're saying here. I know when you read it, you don't. But anyway, we're going to say it together. If you can put it on the screen, that's great. Otherwise, we've done this so you can put on your fridges and you can keep it at home and read it. It's good just to read over it. It's good just to remind yourself of it. It builds your spirits up and encourages you. Are we ready to go? This year is a success because of Jesus in my life. Jesus holds all things together. He is in all things, and He goes before all things. He knows every circumstance that I will face, and He will turn each one for my good and success. He promises never to leave me nor forsake me. Where I go, He goes, because I am in Him and He is in me. This year, I am favored to prosper because of Christ in me, and am a blessing to be a blessing to the people in my life. I will experience new levels of God's love for me, and I will grow in rich revelation of His goodness. I will see heaven invade my life in every situation. Sickness or iniquity has no place in my or my family's life, and we will be healthy as the Spirit of Jesus gives life to our bodies. We will see an increase of signs, wonders, and miracles around us. May my life be a sign and testimony of Jesus and His goodness. There are new dreams that will be realized. New desires will be fulfilled. And new territory will be taken for the kingdom. As I grow in the revelation of who Jesus is, there is no limit to what I can do through Him this year.
Sure. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a shout.
Woo! Father, I just thank You, Lord. I thank You for the beginning of this year. I thank You, Jesus,
yes,
that we would truly see more and more of You this year, Jesus.
Yes,
I thank You, Lord, that You'd become more real to us. That, Jesus, that as we walk out of here, there would be something that would have changed in our hearts, in our spirits, Lord Jesus. Father, I just declare life into Highway. I declare life into this place. I thank You for the people that will come in this year, that their lives would be changed because of the goodness
thank
of you,
Jesus.
I thank You for the signs and the wonders, the miracles, the excitements that are going to come into this body this year, Lord Jesus. And Father, I just declare Your protection over all our families,
yes,
over
Lord.
All our loved
thank
ones,
you,
over
thank
our
you, Lord.
Jobs, over
yes, Lord.
Everything this year, Lord, that we would not be victims of crime, that we would not have any fear, but Father, that where we go, You will go. And Father, that we would leave footprints that You leave behind us, Lord Jesus, that we would walk in the ways of You this year.
Yes, Lord.
So Jesus, we just love You, and we just declare
Lord,
just our love for You this
yes,
morning.
Jesus.
In Jesus' precious name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome.